The Property Pod. Welcome to The Property Pod with MoneyWeb. The property sector is an ever-changing sector. And in this podcast series, your host, Suren Naidu, chats to movers and shakers in the property industry.
Hi there and welcome to The Property Pod, South Africa's premier property investor podcast. My name is Suren Naidu, and on this weekly MoneyWeb show, we gain insider insights from leading CEOs, analysts, developers, and entrepreneurs in the country's dynamic property industry. It's MPC month, and the SA Reserve Bank's Monetary Policy Committee is set to hold its last meeting for 2024 later this month to decide on the repo rate and effectively interest rates. So we're back looking at the residential property market on the latest podcast. We are zoning into residential property as an investment. According to recent research by Lightstone, residential property may be losing its investment appeal. Data from 2006 to 2021 showed year-on-year growth in investor volumes. It then leveled off in 2022, but for 2023 and 2024, it has been falling, says Lightstone, a well-known provider of data and analytics. Lightstone is well-known for data analytics for the property industry and other sectors. Hayley Ivan Downs, Managing Executive for Real Estate at Lightstone, now joins me on the line to share more insight into that report. Welcome to the Property Pod, Hayley.
Thank you, Suren. It's great to be here and to share some of our insight and knowledge that we have.
Based on your research report, who are regarded as residential property investors and around how many properties do they own in South Africa?
So it's really interesting. So as a property investor, what we generally do is we look at owners who own more than three properties. And the reason that we do that, just in terms of building our assumptions around investor, is there are a lot of homeowners in the country that have second households and second homes or holiday homes. So essentially, we try and gauge where there's additional revenue being gleaned off a property. And that generally then comes in at a three property kind of ownership. And then if we look at numbers wise, we're looking at about 153,000 investors that have more than three properties, and that is 460,000 properties in total. So, and that breaks down even further. It gets down to 60% of the investors have three properties, down to 10% have six properties or more. So we do quite a bit of analysis in terms of trying to understand who they are and where they are.
And those are generally entrepreneur types, individual investors, as opposed to companies that invest in residential property stock, as it were.
Yes, this is definitely kind of your private ownership. And we find also that it's 87% of residential properties that get bought, which is quite interesting. There's still a 13% that kind of speaks to either commercial or farms.
Okay. And you say these investors, so essentially they are the buy-to-let players, as it were. What are they investing in it for, in the traditional sense, or short-term letting? Because that seems to be the growing trend at the moment with the likes of Airbnb and other options.
Yes, so it's definitely a combination that we're seeing. So it's your traditional that you're kind of talking to, which is where they're getting rental off their property. And then there's also a big factor around Airbnb, and specifically down at the coast. We see quite a big number of properties, investment properties, that are actually Airbnb. And then you speak to some kind of homeowners as well who have extra properties in places like Plettenberg Bay, who literally just rent the properties out at peak seasons and really get enough money to pay off rates and taxes for a year. So it's really, I mean, you know, you just glean some knowledge and you hear stories of somebody renting their house out in Plettenberg Bay for December and getting 400,000 rand. So, you know, it's those kind of stories that you kind of start understanding that it's very varied. It's your traditional kind of long-term rental, spanning through to short-term, spanning through to Airbnb, or literally holiday peak seasons.
Thanks for that insight. We'll get to Cape Town and the Western Cape in a minute or a few minutes. But now to the key part of the conversation, Lightstone, we know its presence in the market, does a lot of research around residential in particular. This report on the residential market says private residential investors appear to be losing their appetite for growing their portfolios. Does this mean investor interest is waning then?
So we're definitely seeing it in the numbers, but I can honestly say that it's following the trend of the property market. We've had some really tough years. 2023, 2024 have been really tough in the property market. I think very much driven by the economy, the fact that the interest rates have jumped up. You know, they were at an all-time low in 2021. They were the lowest they've been in 50 years. And I think that just spurred the property market and it just encouraged homeowners to buy additional properties to invest in. Unfortunately, that has waned. And I think there is a cost now in terms of having these properties. And we see the cost of having a property literally just going up with your electricity and with your water and, you know, your rates. And all of those aspects over the last 2 years seems to have been building an impact on the consumer and the homeowner. And added to that is obviously the interest rate. That's been relatively high for quite a while. We've only just started seeing a drop, and it's been a marginal drop at that. So I think that for me is kind of underpinning what we're seeing investors kind of waning for. And then I also just think it's obviously also location driven within the different locations. So yes, but we are seeing a definite drop. My sense on it though is it's very much linked to the market that we see.
Well, it's early days with the interest rate cutting cycle, and we saw that somewhat in the numbers of the likes of Baldwin Property, who has sold like 250 fewer apartments in the last 6 months. Now, I know Lightstone is a research company, and I don't know how much comment you go on beyond the research, but are there any new investors coming in, as it were? And if not, what's behind this? You talked about high interest rates, but any other contributing factors to the slowing of the market?
So I think when we talk about new investors coming in, I think there's always new investors, but it's almost like the total number of investors is dropping. So I do think that on the property market, there's always going to be an opportunity for an investor to buy a property, whether it's off plan, which is generally what happens, is kind of buy the property off plan and then sell it, you know, 2 or 3 years later. And you generally make a much better markup than you will than an existing property. But I think, you know, just in terms of the obviously the slow economic growth we've spoken about, I think that we've had obviously a year also of voting. So there's been a change in all of that. I do think certain locations have also changed. I think COVID has had quite a big impact in the sense of semigration. I think what we've seen in Gauteng is that property is really at a low point. In actual fact, it is the perfect buying market because you are going to get property at a really good market rate as to what you would normally pay. Because the market is so suppressed at the moment, it's just almost the appetite is not quite there. And that for me probably links into the costs that we're currently experiencing.
And then following that, could things change now that interest rates are being cut or the cutting cycle has started? There's a lot of optimism around the GNU, even that is early days, and also better economic growth predicted if the GNU holds for the next 3 to 5 years. What are your thoughts around those aspects?
So we definitely anticipate that should the interest rates start dropping, and you know, for us, it's really about a 1% or 2% drop, that we start seeing a bit of an ease on the consumer and the possible new home buyer to the market. So somebody really wanting to buy to invest, it becomes a lot more affordable because your interest rate has dropped. So it does affect some of those costs that have been sitting there that you don't need to then essentially worry about. And I do also think that, you know, it's also always going to be based on location and, you know, where you're also going to be buying. But we do anticipate that with the drop in interest rate, that will encourage the market to start picking up. It's been quite interesting this last month on our stats. We obviously track usage on our systems, and there's actually been an uptick on usage. So it's basically the highest usage we've had since May, which is a good thing for us because that means there's something happening in the property market. And there's starting to be a little bit of a pickup. So maybe it's anticipation for kind of the next MPC meeting, which is hopefully soon, and we kind of get some good further news. But it does feel like there's a little bit of a spark at the moment, and hopefully that carries through to the new year. But, you know, everything around, you know, if the political environment stabilizes and even starts more improving, that can only encourage further investment, which is really what you want in terms of buying a property.
Getting back into the actual stats in the report, can you share some other insights from your research at Lightstone?
Yeah, so what we saw from an investor point of view was generally the properties that were being purchased was between your 750,000 and your 1.5 million, which is really our middle range property. And very much also the other note on that is also 16% of properties are in sectional title, and that very much fits that price bracket. And it also gives us a good indication that those are generally the properties that are rented and rented long term. So these are your properties you were speaking around the Baldwins, and those are your kind of sectional title complexes that get bought up and they basically get rented. So that price range really sits with those kind of properties. The other interesting thing is that 46% of investment properties are not bonded. So essentially they don't need additional finance to bond and purchase another property, which in itself is really interesting as well. It means that they've got extra cash that they're willing to and able to spend. And then also just around the different locations of it. So, you know, 7% of metro residential stock and 4% on non-metro residential stock are held by private investors. So that's in total. So if we look at the total stock of houses in the country, and we're just mindful of how many people, the 153,000 investors, they're actually sitting with 7% of property stock in metro and 4% in non-metro. So it's actually quite a big portion when we look at it from that perspective. And then, as I mentioned previously, 60% of investors own three or more properties. So that in itself is also, there's quite a big kind of focus around that. And then I've also mentioned, obviously, the pre-COVID times. I think COVID did a big change in the property market, and we had two really good years, the back end of 2020, 2021, and into 2022 was phenomenal for the property market. We haven't seen sales like that for a very long time. And that was obviously buoyed through the low interest rate.
Well, that was unsustainably low, no. One might argue, because of exactly. COVID, because it went back to a record. But I suppose the market is really anticipating, hopefully, the Trump election there doesn't stifle the cuts.
Yeah.
But the U.S. did cut their rate by a smaller number in this latest round. Lightstone says investor activity has flattened in Cape Town, while Johannesburg and Pretoria, in addition to Durban, have increased between 2 and 1%. What does this mean for the Western Cape property market? Because all you hear is about the boom in the Western Cape, whether it's from estate agents, the government there, or other commentators.
So the Western Cape for us is really around running kind of lack of stock. Since the COVID time that I mentioned, you know, we track semigration and we've been tracking it for many years. The big thing for us, we noticed that after COVID, there was basically a 40% increase of semigration to the Western Cape. And of the 40%, 80% were from Gauteng. So there was a definite drive into the Western Cape, which has obviously pushed prices up of residential properties. And as a result, it's become very expensive and actually really hard to get your hands on. I speak to estate agents that literally say they don't even have time to list the property and it gets sold. So that is the demand that we've seen in the Western Cape. I think the one thing to be very mindful of in terms of rental is that the Western Cape rental, you just don't get the same yield as you do in Gauteng, which has also always been interesting. And that's directly related to the price and the cost of property in the Western Cape. So what we're seeing there is the fact that the investor activity has flattened in Cape Town. There's a lack of stock. It's really expensive. And you actually don't get the return back on rental that you would in a Johannesburg, Pretoria, or even Durban. So those are the couple of factors that we've seen.
It's very interesting you mentioned that, because if you're rich and you can buy property, then you probably can make more money there. But those insights around yield is particularly important. But you're also noticing MoneyWeb has received a lot of commercial advertising, in fact, over the last few months from new developments in Cape Town. So that's why I was influenced by asking some of those questions. We know that it does better, but there's a separate discussion around people who can actually afford homes in Cape Town, never mind those that are semigrating there. Hayley, before you go, any other highlights worth talking about?
No, it's just to really say that, you know, from an investment point of view, I think there's also a realization that, you know, property is not, it's a long-term investment. You know, property is generally not something that you're going to put money in and make a lot of money within the short number of years, unless you have specifically targeted a new build or a specific kind of fixer-upper. But I think that in itself, as an investor in property, it becomes really important that you understand that, you know, it's generally for the long haul for you to get your return back. And as long as you're making enough yield through the rental, you know, it's certainly well worth having because it's that additional income. So, yeah, it's really it's something to consider for anybody kind of, you know, who can afford it. I think it's a really good investment to be looking at.
Hayley, thanks so much for your time on the podcast today. That was Hayley Ivan Downs, Managing Executive for Real Estate at Lightstone.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Property Pod with Suren Naidu. To listen to more episodes, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. Follow Suren on Twitter at Suren Naidu for more of his property industry content and other business stories. The Property Pod.